Morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Brian Emmett. Happy to be with you here this morning on the correct side of the Haw River. Happy Thanksgiving week to everyone. And obviously, I'm filling in for Jaime this morning. He and Hannah are enjoying some vacation time before a very busy holiday season. And I believe that they're cruising somewhere with some family members. So think of them kindly as whatever. For those of you who may not know me, as I said, Brian Emmett, retired pastor from the Boston area. My wife Kathy and I moved here about 6 years ago to be closer to at least one of our three kids and three of our eight grandchildren. Now, this morning is the finale of our Kingdom People series. And over these past 6 weeks or so, we've looked at what the phrase the kingdom of God means. This kingdom was Jesus's favorite topic. He talked about the kingdom more than he talked about anything else. And Jaime has set before you a number of ways to think about what that term kingdom of God means. What's the content of it? Kingdom of God is present whenever God's will is being done in God's way. Jesus is how we see God's kingdom in action. Where there is sickness, Jesus brings healing. Where there is demonic oppression, Jesus brings deliverance and liberation. Where people are devalued, Jesus acknowledges and lifts up their inherent dignity. Where there is darkness, Jesus brings light. Where there is death, Jesus brings life. Where there is humanity that has given itself over to the powers of sin and death, Jesus brings redemption through his death and resurrection. And we've also talked about some of the practices of kingdom people. What do kingdom people act like? And so we've talked about things like repent and believe. Leave your nets behind. Whatever might be tangling you up from being all in with following Jesus, let go of that. We've talked about having a hope that's Christ-focused. Focused on eternal, permanent things, not temporal, changing things. A hope that actually is the fruit of suffering, plus patient endurance, plus ever-deepening Christ character formed in us. We've talked about being aliens and strangers, and at the same time, representatives of God's kingdom. We've talked about living worthily of our King, finding our identity in him and not in politics, nation, ethnic groups, other kinds of human tribalism. And we've talked about kingdom people love as if life depended on it because it does. Now, today's passage that Colleen presented to us focuses our attention on one more critical character trait of kingdom people. Kingdom people are communicators of the good news of the kingdom of God. Kingdom people are kingdom communicators. And this character trait, this call to be communicators, comes with an important corollary, which is communication requires words as well as actions. It's both and, not either or. Chatham Community Church is rightfully proud of our culture of service. We are doers, sleeve roller uppers. We like getting our hands dirty. We like showing up with needed practical help. And we do all of that because we're followers of Jesus, because we're kingdom people. We believe rightly that serving is one of the main ways we give our witness to God's good news in Christ. Just don't ask us to talk much about it, right? That's when some of us get anxious, tongue-tied, a little embarrassed. This is when we might rehearse our list of supposed disqualifications to being kingdom communicators, when we try to say to ourselves, can't my deeds speak for us? And we say things like, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I don't even have the gift of gab. I've not been to seminary. I don't have any theological training. I'm not in full-time ministry. You know, I don't have a church office or position. I'm probably going to make mistakes. I'm not going to say it right. I might even say something heretical. And I'm just not any good at it. Anybody ever feel that way? So, good news. Absolutely nothing on that list I just read disqualifies you from being a kingdom communicator. Now, some of us also, after that list, we have a second list in mind. We say something to ourselves like, in addition, I'm disqualified from sharing the gospel with people, from being a communicator of God's kingdom, because I still have questions and doubts that I struggle with. I have some questions I don't know how to answer. I'm pretty confident that if I start talking with people about God's kingdom, they're going to ask me some questions that I'm not going to know how to answer. And my life isn't exactly a paragon of the Christian life. Not only that, I'm scared to do it. I mean, I might get rejected. I might get fired. Something terrible's going to happen. And I've not had much success doing it in the past. And you know what? I'm just not any good at it. Well, more good news. None of that disqualifies you either. And in fact, some of the items on that second list are what will make you an even more effective communicator of the good news of God's kingdom. That's right. The fact that you're not perfect, that you still have struggles, questions, doubts, does not disqualify you from becoming a kingdom communicator. Now, we may get confused about what it means to be a kingdom communicator. So, do I parade around my neighborhood wearing a sandwich board sign that says, Jesus is Lord, turn or burn? Does it mean I leave a gospel tract everywhere I go? Does it mean that I try to find some way to turn every conversation into a spiritual one? You know, UNC's recent drubbing of Duke reminded me of the Bible verse that says, does it mean that I walk up to strangers and strike up a conversation by saying, how about I share with Jesus with you, okay? Or would you like to learn more about Jesus Christ? So here's my big idea for this morning. And maybe it's not a big idea. Maybe it's just a helpful idea. As you consider what it means for you to become a kingdom communicator, I want you to think about practice having gospel conversations. Gospel conversations. Let's unpack that a little bit. Now, picture yourself having a spiritual toolbox, right? Different kinds of jobs require different kinds of tools, and prayer is a kind of spiritual tool, and learning to serve is a kind of spiritual tool, and getting familiar with the Bible, those are all good tools to have in your spiritual toolkit. And when it comes to being kingdom communicators, I imagine some of us have had some training in how to share your faith, training in how to make a gospel presentation, how to walk somebody through everything that they might need to know and understand and embrace in order to become a follower of Jesus. You may have learned a set way to present the gospel. Maybe there's some additional tools like a drawing or a little diagram or a sketch that you've learned. And knowing how to make a gospel presentation is a really good tool to have. And nothing I'm saying this morning suggests that you don't need a tool like that in your toolbox. What I'm wanting to do is add another tool to your toolbox. So here's some more good news It just keeps coming at you this morning. You're not disqualified from being a kingdom communicator. All those reasons where you say, I just can't open my mouth, none of that disqualifies you. Even not being good at it doesn't disqualify you. Even not having a lot of success doesn't disqualify you, because God has shaped and equipped you, normal, everyday, just as you are you, to have gospel conversations with the people to whom he sends you. God shapes, God equips, and God sends. Kingdom people are sent people. Now, when you hear sent, please don't think in terms only or primarily of being a foreign missionary. For the vast majority of us, God is not sending us to Tibet or China or someplace far away, but he is sending us, you, me, us, to your workplace or school, to your family, your wider social relational network, right? Thanksgiving's coming. Picture all those people around the table. God's sending you there. Your neighborhood, your favorite hangout spots like your coffee shop, your go-to gym, restaurant, walking trails, dog parks, pickleball courts, whatever it might be. How can those people in those places come to believe in Jesus if they never get to hear? And how can they hear unless somebody communicates with them? And how come someone speak with them unless they're sent? So God is sending you to people who need to hear something of the good news through you. Not because you're a Bible expert, not because you're a trained theologian, but because some of your stories, your experiences, even your doubts and questions and struggles are going to fit with theirs. It will make sense to them. God has shaped and equipped you for friendship with those around you. Do you love golf, tennis, pickleball? Does God want some of your pickleball partners, golf buddies, old car enthusiasts, fellow crafters to hear something of God's good news through you? Gospel conversations, what I'm wanting us to think about this morning, gospel conversations recognize that there is a process involved for a person coming to faith in Jesus. If you think about your own life, it was a process, wasn't it? Even if you were raised in a Christian home and sort of would say, yeah, you know, I've known Jesus all your life, the first words you spoke were not, Jesus is Lord. God raised him from the dead, right? You were in a process of some kind. Everybody is. It's a journey. Some people are just at the starting lines. They might not even sure they want to start. Others are somewhere along the way. Some people are quite comfortable with where they are, and a gospel conversation might just give them a bit of a nudge to consider looking at things a little differently. Some people may be in crisis. Maybe what they most need is a compassionate, listening, prayerful ear. Maybe everyone has questions, doubts, even fears, and sometimes what they need is a conversation partner, someone who takes them and their questions and their doubts and their fears seriously, while at the same time trying to nudge them in a Jesus direction. We often don't know, at least at first, when you're just having a conversation with somebody, where they are in the process. Maybe God knows that your colleague at work or your friend in the neighborhood is going to need 27 nudges to get them all the way into the kingdom. And maybe your job is just to provide nudge 7 or nudge 8. Sometimes we do get the privilege of offering them that final nudge that gets them all the way into being a follower of Jesus, but not always. Some gospel conversations may well be one-offs, you know, that the person in the airplane seat next to you who you're never going to see again. But some of these conversations might become ongoing. We don't have to stress about any of this. We don't have to figure out what step a person is in. We just have to trust God's Spirit to lead and direct us and then take the opportunities that the Holy Spirit opens to be a kingdom communicator. And keep in mind that the vast majority of gospel conversations happen outside of this building and outside of church activities. I mean, organized church activities. Yes, of course, we want people to join us for weekly worship, and we want them to become part of small groups and Bible studies and all of those great things that enrich all of our lives. But the most important and influential kingdom conversations are going to happen for you in the same places they happen for Jesus. Most of what you read in the Gospels, about 90% of it, happens outside temple and synagogue. Yeah, Jesus went to synagogue pretty much every Sabbath, and Jesus went up to the temple 3 times every year, as all faithful Jews would do. But most of what you read in the Gospels happens where you are every day. So, what is a gospel conversation? Let me give you a quick definition. Gospel conversations are normal people talking normally about normal stuff with our ears tuned to listening for their passions, things they love, things they're excited about, their passions, and their pains. Normal people having normal conversations about normal stuff, but kingdom communicators' ears are tuned towards what's this person really love? What really matters to them? What's important to them? And are there any places of pain that they are giving expression to? So a gospel conversation focuses on the person, right? They're not a target that we need to kind of check off. They're a person whom God loves. And we're willing to be sincerely curious about them. So we start with where they're coming from, and we don't require them to know our insider language. Church language. The words and phrases that we're comfortable with, that we love, that are really true and good, but don't make any sense to some people because they've never heard them before. They don't understand them. Gospel conversations invite story sharing, their stories and your stories. Gospel conversations are happy to say one or two gospel things honestly and well. And there's not pressure to kind of deliver the whole load the way we sometimes feel. You know, like if I don't tell everything, you know, this is their one opportunity and I'm going to blow it and, you know, that'll be terrible. Gospel conversations say, hey, if it's my job to give nudge 4.5, I'm just going to give nudge 4.5. Gospel conversations do require some risk on our part, but you know what? Probably not as much as you think. And gospel conversations welcome and invite and respect questions, even the ones we don't know how to answer. So, enough bullet points. Let's try something a little different. Instead of talking about gospel conversations, let me see if I can show you a little snippet of one. So, I've asked Dave Patterson to help me with this morning. So, Dave, And just to set the scene, Dave and I work in the same office company. It's Monday morning, and it's Monday morning coffee break, and we're at the coffee bar or whatever. It's all right. So we're just going to play this out for a little bit. We haven't rehearsed it. We've talked for 2 minutes about it, so this is not a professional. Dave was happy enough to volunteer. If it goes well, it's because he's brilliant. If it doesn't, it's because I'm not. So, hey, Dave, morning.
Hey, morning, Brian. How are you?
Good. Hey, tell me about your weekend. Good weekend, but what'd you do this weekend?
Nothing much. Hung out. I mean, you know my kids, right? There seems to be Star Wars is always hot, so I think just stayed on the couch, binged watch a bunch of whatever. I don't know. We jump in and out.
Star Wars? Like you guys are a big Star Wars fan?
Don't get me started. I mean, we only got a few minutes before the next meeting.
Well, we only got a few minutes, so get started. Tell me, like, what is it about Star Wars that like you love? And because it sounds like you. So, did you find Star Wars first, or did your kids bring you into Star Wars world?
Great question. So, I've been a Star Wars fan. I don't know, my whole life, my dad. So bringing my kids into it. I mean, one of the things that I love about it is just like. There's so many stories, and like you can just pick up like in the middle, any of the movies, the shows, Baby Yoda, like good, evil, light side, dark side. It's like, I mean, who doesn't know about Star Wars, and who couldn't get into that?
Yeah. So tell me some more just about what you love. So you mentioned like light and dark, and good and evil, and Baby Yoda. Okay, but what is it about that? Those stories, because it's a whole, like, how many are there?
Let's see. There's 9 movies. There's the first 3, which are the middle 3. But then they have the first 3, which came after the first movies. But anyway, like, I just think, I mean, Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, you know about Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
His dad.
The Enterprise, right?
I mean,
right?
Spoilers.
They're flying around in the Enterprise?
I mean... Not really.
That's why I'm asking. I'm interested.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I mean, so you have the dark side, right?
Yeah.
Which has, in the original movies, it's just the dark side, who you find out has defeated the good guys, but then the good is starting to come back. And so it starts with this guy, Luke, found in the desert. Turns out he's strong in the Force, and he's going to come... and defeat all the bad guys, and bring all the good, light side, everything that's wonderful back into the galaxy and save the whole thing.
Gosh, that sounds like a lot of stories we tell ourselves, right? You got something bad, you know, there's some bad thing, bad force, bad whatever, and you got a hero, and why do you think we tell stories like that, and why do you think we love them so much?
I never thought about it that way, but I think, like, I mean, who doesn't love, like, it just seems universal, right? Good, evil, good, always, you know, eventually wins, maybe not always, but I think the best stories, like, don't the best stories end with the good guys winning?
Yeah, I mean, why we really want that to be true, you know, and as a Christian, I think it really is true. I think those stories are actually telling us something really fundamental about ourselves, that we were created, or, you know, our lives are about finding our place in that struggle against light and darkness.
Are you, you're a church guy, Brian?
Yeah. Haven't I told you that before?
No, I just thought you were a nice guy.
Well, I hope I am, but I mean, for me, you know, Jesus is the thing that holds everything together, sort of stitches everything together. What stitches everything together for you? You know, as you think about life's big questions, kind of what holds it all together for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is the play, but like, I don't. So it's interesting because I talk with my wife about this. She's kind of more like the lead on the church thing. She's, you know, we've been, you know, kind of dabbling in a local church. She's gotten engaged in like this Bible study. She goes every Wednesday. She hangs out. And so, like, you know, I don't know. I haven't thought about it that much.
Okay. Are you willing to, or, I mean, are you interested in thinking about it some more? Or?
I mean, not opposed. What's your story? What got you going?
Well, so, and let me just end it here, okay? So we could keep going. I mean, it's like I'm ready to go. But Thank you, David.
Yeah, I'm up to my neck in TPS report, so
I'll right, see you later. we have to get on here. So that was just a little bit of role playing, right? You know, if Star Wars and movies aren't your thing, if they're not in your wheelhouse, that's fine. Remember, gospel conversations are normal people talking normally about normal stuff with ears tuned to listening for their passions. Heard that a little bit in Dave, right? He's passionate about Star Wars. He loves it. And their pains. What people are passionate about, what they love, what moves them, what they enjoy, what they long for, what they seek to achieve, those passions are ultimately about their hunger for God. Yep, they don't know that. They may not even agree with that. But we are created by love, for love, to live in love. And that is at the heart of our passions. That's what's really at the heart of the things that you love, things that they love. And yes, our loves get deformed. They get aimed in the wrong directions. Yes, we love some small things way more than we should. And we love big things way less than we ought to. But people love the movies and stories they do, love the activities that they love because they're after something. They're desiring something. We love movies like Star Wars because we want to be noble and heroic and empowered to do what is good and right. We want a world that is made whole. We recognize our world isn't whole and we want to see it made right side up. We want to love. We want to be loved, even if we go about that in all kinds of ways that are messed up. They want to know that the things that make them cry are real and have meaning. They really do want happily ever after. They want there to be joy and laughter at the end, but wonder if that's even possible. And if people's passions, loves, and desires are in fact seeds that God has planted within their souls, a gospel conversation simply tries to offer some water and some sunlight and some nutrition to what God's already got growing in them. And if our passions are ultimately expressions of our desire for God, pains connect with our need for God. Again, most folks you talk with aren't necessarily going to see it that way, not at the start. Pains, sorrows, losses, disappointments are for many people one of the main reasons they don't want anything to do with God. How could a loving God allow blank to happen? I'm not interested. Pain is tough to talk about. It gets really personal really fast. And Christians have to learn how to listen more and not just try to slap spiritual band-aids over gaping wounds. We've got to learn not to try to fix things quickly for the one who is suffering in some way. We don't want to try and relieve our own discomfort by trying to fix their pain in a quick, easy way. So passions and pains are a way back into what today's scripture has been talking about. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The problem with our passions is that they are ended by death. And our fears about our pains is that they're never going to end. And if death gets the last word, then neither our passions nor our pains mean anything. But Jesus is Lord. God raised him from the dead. There's far more going on around us than human willfulness and pride, real as those are. The world is not finally ruled by pride and greed and violence, real as those are, because Jesus is Lord. Death may do a lot of talking, but it does not get the last word because God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus is Lord. God raised him from the dead, and that makes sense of our passions and our pains in ways that nothing else can. Do we really believe that our passions, the things that we love, our desire for justice, for truth, for goodness, for love, are just evolutionary tricks our genes play on us so that our DNA gets to the next generation? No. Jesus is Lord, not genetics, not evolution, not time and chance. And likewise for our pains. Does the cosmos care? Does the universe care? No, it can't. But God does. God raised Jesus from the dead, so our pains can become something more than just pain. They can become, not easily, not in any kind of quick fix way, pathways into the kingdom of God. And kingdom communicators are learning how to help people process their pains differently. Our neighbors, our families, our friends, even our enemies will not figure this out on their own. How can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear unless someone speaks to them? How can someone speak to them if they're not willing to be sent to them? You know what? A lot of people will find the gospel deeply attractive. Yeah, they have questions, objections, doubts, arguments, but if we're willing to hang in there with them, continuing as best we can to have the kinds of gospel conversations I've been talking about this morning, the gravitational field of the love of God will keep drawing them towards him. After all, even if they don't know it yet, even if they don't like the idea right now, they were created in God's image to know and love God. Kingdom people are sent people, sent to communicate the good news of God's king and kingdom. God doesn't send you because you're perfect, because you know everything, because you're an accomplished speaker, can answer any question. God sends us because God loves them. Kingdom people are kingdom communicators. The good news of the kingdom of God is the best news anyone is ever going to hear in time or eternity. It's the best news because it's true. And it's the truth our passions long for and our pains hope for. So, gospel conversations, one more tool for your toolkit. God is happy to work with you and through you, your story, your experiences, even your imperfections. Gospel conversations are geared towards helping someone take a step or two in the Jesus direction, maybe not getting all the way there. Kingdom people are kingdom communicators. God sends us because, say it with me, God loves them. Let's pray. Jesus, you were sent by the Father, and you are sending us. Help us to communicate the good news of your kingdom through our deeds and especially through our words. Give us ears to hear the passions and the pains of those to whom you send us. And give us the right words to say at the right time. And give us the right way to say them. We pray together in your name. Amen. Let's stand together for our final.